something great, the whites, into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead, Emily King.
Hello.
How are you, my dear?
I'm great.
How is your day in the land of whatever you do that's not this?
Well, Tuesday is my Monday, so I can pretty much take it from there.
Just yeah.
Getting settled in, but this is fun.
I feel
we're
like a
fishbowl. Display.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we're in nepotism land as well because my daughter Sammy's here with us.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
We're at one of your favorite places.
We are at Posh.
We are at Posh.
Yay.
And there's
that was super depressing.
Yay. Through a fishbowl.
Through a fishbowl.
Because it feels like we're in a fishbowl because you're close. This is Josh Hebert.
Hi, everybody.
My brother from another mother.
Yes,
do you realize
so.
We've known each other for like almost 10 years?
I know. That's crazy.
Isn't that
isn't
a trip?
It?
And we met on a radio show.
On a radio show.
Culinary Confessions.
And now we're talking on a radio show.
I know.
It's like remarkably coincidental.
Inception.
Inception, you know right. Very. See, that's exactly what I was thinking, Sammy. Inception. It's like the dream within the dream within the dream.
Right, exactly.
Give me the kick.
You Sammy loves this restaurant.
Thank you,
and
Sammy.
I think she has a little, you know, like, chef crush on you, too.
Yeah, does she? Okay.
Yeah. She's just turning
not
around
on
right
radio,
now.
Mom.
Why not?
Because then everyone knows.
Well, guess what?
We got 12 listeners.
Welcome to the rules.
Just something about short, fat Polish guys.
I thought you were French. You know what you did one
actually
time?
I am partially French, too.
You know what you did one time?
What did I do one time? Only once?
No, well, this was the only time I heard of it. So I was in basics at ACI, and Wilson comes in.
Wilson.
And taps me on the shoulder, and he says, you know Josh Hebert, right? And I said, yeah. And you were speaking. You were their keynote speaker for the graduation that night.
Uh-huh.
And he says, well, how do you pronounce his last name? And I said, Hebert. And he goes, oh, okay. And so all my classes look at me going, why is the president of the school talking to Heidi? And I'm just like, you know, whatever. It's been like, you know, day six
no
or whatever
deal.
In the school. Yeah, no big deal. Whatever. You know, I know people. So anyway, after you did it, he came back to me at the reception and he says, he corrected me and said it was Hebert.
Yes. Technically speaking, my last name is French.
He was just totally messing with you, man.
It was easy. You can mess with people. It's so funny because my wife's family is all from Central Louisiana, and when I go there, like they pronounce it the right way. It's like you walk in, it's Hebert. But if I'm not in Montreal or somewhere in Louisiana, it's Hebert because it's Hebert.
So. It sounds very harsh that way.
Hebert.
Hebert.
Right. It does. And then you know, there's the other version of it, which is like, let's just accidentally add another R and call me Joshua Herbert.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
Pretty normal. So.
Well, you can imagine what I go through with a last name like Lee.
God, it must be brutal. Everyone thinks you're Korean.
Thank you.
Because there are so many blue-eyed Korean women.
I'm not blue-eyed.
Oh, you're right.
I'm Hazel.
I never thought
but
that.
But David is blue-eyed.
Right.
So when we were living in Seattle.
And David could
Seattle.
Be a very Asian name for those new.
Yes, he could.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
the,
they take that basic right. Christian name, David Goliath, you know, whatever. And we got so much Korean mail. It was hilarious inviting us to all these functions.
Sure.
And
why would that not be?
I know. It's really, really funny. But, you know, you can imagine him in Singapore, 6'3" cowboy boots.
Totally. Pasty white guy there.
Pasty.
He's like a foot and a half taller than him. When I was in Japan, I was like 3 inches taller than everybody. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm short.
Were you really?
I was.
Oh, my.
Everyone there is like 5'5". I'm a whopping 5'8".
Ooh-hoo!
But I wear like thick shoes, maybe 5'9".
You know what? That actually leads me into kind of a funky segue about online dating. Because everybody that's short lies about how tall they are.
Why wouldn't you? It's like college basketball players.
Huh?
If you were 6'1" in your college basketball thing,
oh, right.
they're gonna say you're 6'6".
Right.
You know?
Okay. But don't they already have that? Isn't that in the rule books and stuff? And you have like a bio and a profile and you're measured and things like that?
Bios and profiles. It's a lot.
So I was, we had a little technical issue, so we had to start over. But anyway, I've been very, very busy, which is, you know, unusual for me. And so I kind of been playing with my show notes for just like 24 hours. And usually I spend at least, you know, 30.
Right.
So
give it just over a full day.
In pencil, it says for topics today, college ramen, boomboxes, mixtapes, and online dating.
Do they do mixtapes anymore?
When you know what? Like, I did.
You know what? I did. I made a mixtape for my boyfriend for Christmas.
Yeah?
Yep.
But is it where like a tape anymore? Or what do you do? Is it like
a
CD?
CD. Right.
Oh,
yeah. No, I used a CD, but I called it a mixtape.
Everybody called. You can't not call it a mixtape.
Right. No, I agree with you. It's legendary.
And he called me a dork, so.
Really? Well, that's like a compliment in certain cliques, you know? I mean, if you're a hipster.
He's
being
a dork, too, though.
Yeah, see?
We're all dorks.
Yeah.
That's what Sammy said to me one time. I said, oh, my God, I'm a dork. She goes, Mom, everybody's a dork. But, yeah, so I had these two dorks give me mixtapes on online dating.
Nice.
And one of them brought them on our first date. You know, we talked on the phone a couple of times, and it was actually pretty freaking hilarious because he put in – the music was so eclectic, and then he had, like, a portion of a Richard Nixon speech and Monty Python.
Did he – when he gave –
do
when
you remember that?
Monty Python is how you capture anyone's heart.
Did he give it to you and say, this is how I feel about you? Right? Is it like, was there like an emotional moment where he's like, just listen to this and you'll know everything you need to know?
Yeah, no, there wasn't. There was later, and then I listened to it, and then he said that, and I'm like,
Did he put any of his own music on there? Have you ever gotten any of those?
No, but then I got one from another guy, and it was a double mixtape. So it was two, it was like 25 songs.
It was like two-sided.
It was, yeah. Yeah, and actually it's pretty good. I have, and both of them say, Heidi's mixtape.
In Sharpie.
It does. This like little heart.
This is my harmonica solo for you.
I think that was the last time I got a mixed CD was in college, speaking of college.
Okay, so let's go there.
And they were all, you know, just scrawled on. Lots of emo music. Like,
really?
I dated a lot of guys who are really into Bright Eyes.
So,
I'm like, this is like...
Beth, you know where you get that is if you put on the Pandora station, Ambrosia. You get all that crappy, sappy music.
So it's not like there wasn't like loaded with Morrissey then, no. Because that's like the real emo music. That was emo.
Who?
Morrissey?
Tell me. Give me a song.
No,
sing something.
Maybe one or two. we'll add some for bumpers. Just don't drive off the road and kill yourselves.
Okay. Oh, nice. No,
it's all very sad.
You guys are so lucky because you had something that was so compact and it weighs about 3 ounces and it's called your phone for music.
Yeah.
I had a boom box beside my bed in my college dormitory that I had to go, you know, make a mixed tape off of, you know, whatever.
The radio.
But no, actually, the ones I wanted to take with me were my parents' music. That would remind me of home, you know, so John Kerry, Barbra Streisand, you know, all those guys. Yeah, Bobby Darin.
Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, well, just a couple of them.
She's amazing.
I know. So, I mean, one of my favorite songs of hers is When in Rome, because basically it's just like, F everybody. When I'm here, I'm doing what everybody else does.
That's college.
And she can sing. Come on.
Oh, absolutely. God.
Yeah. She's a little bit, you know,
Babs.
Whack. But
that's okay.
You
can be
okay.
Whack. When you got that kind of money, you can be as weird as you want.
Well, that kind of talent, you know. Kind of like you, Mr. Chef.
I have neither money nor talent, but thank you.
I wasn't talking about the money part because I have no idea of your personal finance issues.
Sure.
But I do know that you're an amazing chef. And actually, Sammy, when there's ever a celebration, where do you want to go?
I want to come here.
She wants
and
to come here.
We never do.
Six courses, crazy stuff. Next time,
hey,
I promise.
My 18th birthday is coming.
I would say you just graduated. That's an occasion.
Yeah.
You're about to turn 18. That's an occasion.
So if we brought her here because we don't charge our guests for a show, could you, like, help us out a little bit?
You can have all the water you want.
And gluten-free alcohol.
Gluten-free alcohol. Their most alcohol is gluten-free, fortunately. So.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I wouldn't drink a Hefeweizen, but...
Okay, but if you have a grain or a wheat-based thing, like a beer, is a beer gluten-free?
No, not all of them.
Okay.
I think Sapporo is considered gluten-free.
Because it's made with rice?
Yeah.
Do you actually have gluten-free ramen noodles?
I do. We do rice noodles when people ask, yes.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
They're available. We keep around.
We appreciate
I mean, it's
that.
It's slightly different only because it's interesting. It brings up a great argument. Is ramen a noodle dish or is it a soup dish? Because that's the big argument in Japan, because the noodle is the ramen noodle in the broth, which varies from place to place and shop to shop and region to region. So is ramen a noodle dish or is it a soup dish?
Well, do they have ramen that doesn't have soup in it?
There is ramen that doesn't have. They have ramen as like dipping. So you can you can dip ramen in broth. They do that a lot of times with cold ramen, as they serve the cold noodles on the side in the cold broth, and you dip the noodles and slurp, and you know, dip the noodles in the sauce and then slurp.
Do you like cold ramen?
I mean, I don't mind it. It depends. Yeah. We've tinkered with it a couple times over the years at Posh for ramen night, and it's not something that's taken off big. But I mean, it's Arizona. I can sell 150 bowls of ramen when it's 113 degrees out, but if I gave somebody a cold bowl of watermelon soup, they'd send it right back.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. It's our market, and that's the way it is. It's cool that people don't have a problem eating hot soup on a hot day.
Well, we were talking about that on the last show we had with Chef Brian Archibald and Lauren Saria. Eating hot stuff on a hot day, it's actually better for you than trying to shock the heck out of your system with this ice-cold thing. And when you're living in the tropics and even here, if you drink hot tea, everybody's thinking, oh, my gosh, you get up and have a hot cup of coffee. You know, you don't necessarily go sit on your deck in, you know, the eastern sun at 10 o'clock in the morning and do it.
I have my coffee in a tan today, I think.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I drink hot coffee all the time. I slurp hot soup noodles all the time.
I
stumbled on that one good, huh?
You did great. Yeah. We actually did a ramen dish the other night, and it had some broth in it just because I created a slurry. But it wasn't soup, but it was still ramen. Mm. You know? It was kick. I loved it. So we're going to take a little quick break here, but Samantha and I decided to play a little game. So I can basically pass it over to her because she's almost as creative as me, but she has more free time. So we decided to make POSH an acronym. So Samantha spent the day coming up with a few. So why don't you take us out with your first one?
My first one is possibly organic, surely hygienic.
Fair enough.
They get so much better.
I bet.
Yeah. I was laughing really hard in the office today. Everybody's looking at me going, what the heck? And I read one to him and, you know, we just kind of lost it. So anyway, we are with Joshua Hebert. Yes?
We.
At Posh Scottsdale. And we will be right back. This is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and I'm here with Emily King.
Sorry about that noise. I was just pulling my microphone out.
Not a problem.
Just going to get a little more comfortable.
Lee.
Hello.
And Joshua Hebert.
Good evening, everybody.
That was.
I don't know why I just did like the count.
I know.
I'm the count. One, two, three.
That was pretty good, though,
for some reason,
man.
Sesame Street really just, like, bopped right in.
I'm the count. One, two, three.
Today's show is brought to you by the number 8 and the letter E and F.
Wow, they tag-teamed this show.
I know. Isn't it great? I love Josh. We were actually talking about the fact that we met on radio in 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Culinary Confessions with Kim and Dawn. And then I moved to KFNX.
Ooh, sorry.
And you played with me there a little bit, but then when we went to KWSS, you were with me every month.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, once a month you came on and you were my wingman.
This is a fabulous format.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
Isn't it fun? It's so much funner now that we are completely mobile, so that we can go into everybody's place of business and get that, like, total atmosphere feel.
Drink their cocktails, eat their food.
Take up
space.
Tables.
We could honestly...
Does that bother you at all? I mean, seriously, if you were open tonight and we took up this space for the show, would that piss you off?
Well, on ramen night, it would be a little bit of an issue, but... you know, it's fun. I do it. You know, the other thing I would suggest is we can always, like, throw water balloons at Postino across the street just because it's there now, and we could do that.
I was going to say,
What is that thing?
It's a water balloon launcher.
I know, but what's it called when you were a kid? It's got a little Y, and it's got a sack, and it's
like a slingshot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a balloon shot.
We found these great, like, arrow. It looks like a bow and arrow, though. Well, we figured you could put eggs in there too.
Sure.
Oh, sure. That's if you're a vandal. Mean.
Yeah, if you're a vandal. And yeah, you
I'm
get in
not.
Trouble. We ate cars when I was a kid.
Sammy's
no,
never done.
I didn't.
Sammy's never done anything wrong in her entire life. I'm sure.
No, never.
So you want
to
know?
You know what?
No, she tried to get me to ding-dong ditch someone one time, and I was so scared I wouldn't do it.
You were like guilt-ridden. So you're like, Mom, I can't do that.
You want to know how dumb I was as a kid?
Yes.
Wanting to get into some trouble? So my friend and I decided that we were going to egg a house, but we did it from the backyard.
What?
And to this day, I don't know what possessed us to do that, but it's like, come on, guys.
Did you get caught?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's only so many choices. Like, who did it?
He did.
Emily was dyslexic. She decided to kill herself, so she jumped behind a bus.
I'm still here.
Can you believe she's this bright?
Hey, you know.
I know, right?
What?
You know. She knows I love her, and she knows.
Well, it's the red hair. It glows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She's a ginger. Sammy pretends to be a ginger, but her ginger actually
blonde,
looks
though,
really
so maybe,
good. Yeah, right.
Maybe that's why.
Well, Sammy was a toehead, but you know she goes ginger, and I think everybody thinks she's.
It looks good on you. I like it.
Yeah, she pulls
it's
off.
Pretty.
Yeah.
The
I don't
hair,
think
the
you've
eyes.
Seen her with that.
I don't think I have either. I was, you know what? It's hard to say because you're like barely not even 18 yet, but it makes you look younger. So I mean, I know when you're 18, you want to be like, no, I want to look like I'm 25. But
we
I
went
know.
Out to dinner the other night. I ordered a cocktail. She got an iced tea, and the lady put the cocktail in front of Sammy.
Well, I mean, you, I mean.
I'm just like, and then I looked at her
tall.
And I said, do you really think she looks 21? And she's like, no.
Psych, just kidding.
I'm going to lose my job. I know. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I have to do a shout out to, sorry to switch up here, to Phoenix New Times. Lauren Saria and their whole group over there had their inaugural Sips and Sweets on Saturday. And CCAP, whom I work for now, as their, check this out, Josh. Here's something to play with. Culinary Resource Specialist.
Nice.
CRS.
So perfect
and
for
I'm
you.
Getting to that age.
You're the Culinary Resource Specialist, huh?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
Can you guess what that is? Because I can't.
Someone who would be the Culinary Resource Specialist could probably hand me the right wooden spoon, because that is a culinary resource.
Is that what
do you
it
specialize
is?
In resourcing
so it's like
culinary?
Scalpel.
Right, exactly. The surgical,
yes,
you're like the
yes,
surgical
chef.
Nurse.
I am. Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can do that with kids.
Probably.
That's pretty cool though. So they had us. We were the beneficiary of some funding from the event. They sold out 1,500 people at Vintage 45.
Cool.
Which is a very new venue.
Sure.
It's actually a church. And the church decided, well, we really, really have this church. We want to have this gathering place, but we need to make some money off of it so we can actually have this gathering place. So they turned it into a venue. And it's really neato, bizito. It's big. I'm thinking maybe 8,000 square feet, maybe 10. But they packed 1,500 people in there the other day, and there wasn't any air conditioning.
Ouch.
I didn't think they thought it was going to be that hot. They had some big blowers. And so, of course, you know, I had to stand there with my shirt over it, and I totally stretched out my T-shirt, and I'm pulling it up. But they had like 20 different suites, you know, folks like Brian Archibald was there from the Boulders and a pie lady and people from St. Francis. And then you had all, you know, Philip Titus Fauntleroy from St. Francis was making cocktails. And it was
he
really
as
cool
good
event.
Looking as
oh, God.
They portrayed him?
Yeah. Yeah. And I told them about Lauren talking about the haircut. You know what a haircut is for a cocktail?
No.
When you over the bar backwards and you get a drink.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And yeah, and he's just a sweetheart.
Do that. That's something you do
just
in college.
Right.
Yes.
Just to get
college.
Back to our
which you are 2 months away from starting college.
Yay, not even that.
College.
She moves in August 13th.
Oh, empty nester.
Six
Someone's
weeks.
An empty nester.
I know.
I'm so excited.
See, yeah. I have a little sister who's exactly your age, and I think it's the coolest thing in the world. It's so awesome that you guys
oh, you do?
Is
oh,
she getting
right.
ready to go to college,
yeah,
too?
She
where's she
where's
going?
She going?
She's going to Vassar.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
She's a smarty patardy. And
she's a smarty. Well, your whole family is.
She's going
so.
To the East Coast, and I'm pretty sure she will never come back to the desert. So,
really? So you're saying she egged houses from the front
she
yard.
She egged houses from the front yard. Definitely, Emily. I'm pretty sure...
That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure the meanest thing she ever did in her entire life was use a swear word once. But
you know. Oh, wow. No, Sammy walked in the other day, and I was sitting there, and I was working on my computer, so it's not a swear word, but it's kind of funny. And I'm really happy right now. I'm in a very good place, and it's really fun.
Sure.
And some people will know why. And she walks in, and she says, hi. And I'm like on my computer, and I said, yeah. And I wasn't.
Right.
I don't do that. That's our thing now.
Is that some sort of stigma you have?
Not really. It's just a like, sleep aid.
I did that in the 60s. I don't have to do that anymore.
The you're not old
enough to be that.
But, well, that's cool for her. You're going to miss her, though, aren't you?
I am. You know, she's... I didn't...
That's a long gap. What are you, 32?
Yes.
Yes.
Plus
yes.
8.
Are you 40?
I turned 40 in October.
In this October?
This October.
Are we having a big, huge freaking party
or
what?
There actually is going to be. It hasn't been announced yet, but they're in the works. And so there's two things. There's a small private thing that someone else in town is going to be catering with some wine from my cellar. And then there's a bigger thing that's...
Wait, catering from wine from your cellar.
Yeah, back up.
Yeah, I'm bringing my own.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then there's going to be a bigger thing, which is going to be here at Posh. And that'll be for like a lot of people.
Okay.
And that'll be a good time.
That'll be neat.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully
and maybe
get on
we'll
the
just broadcast
list.
It live.
Ooh.
Oh, that would be
have some really interesting
fun.
Characters.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I dig that. As long as it doesn't go uber crazy like some other things. Okay, I want to focus on you for a minute.
It's all about me, girl.
Spotlight
yeah.
on Josh. You are.
Spotlight.
What was that thing, Sammy?
The sassy. And
yeah, the sassy sister?
No, wait, yeah. No, sassy best friend.
Sassy best friend. There you go.
And nobody can see that. It's a Z snap.
Up in Z formation.
I know, it's a Z snap. That's right. It's a Z snap. And there, you know, we're sitting, you know, living in a fishbowl. We're sitting here in your private last-in room, and Josh didn't put it out there that he's closed for 3 weeks. And when are you going to open up again?
The 14th of July.
14th of July. And all these people are coming to the door, and we're sitting here, and they're all looking at us like, why don't you open the door?
Right.
It's rather
like,
uncomfortable.
How did they get in?
Must
yeah.
be a special,
they just
special
the door.
Party.
So, you know, you had a lot of, you know, people ask you, you know, when you wanted to be a chef, when you wanted to cook, breakfast was your first word you said before you said mom, and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay. Heidi knows a lot about me, clearly.
Well,
yeah,
you
what
know,
the heck?
I do my
She's like, I have his baby book.
I do. I do. I stole it from his house. But it, one of the things I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've been interviewed a lot.
Sure.
And you and I have spoken a lot.
Many times.
You know, many times. But what I never asked you was, and be totally honest, because it doesn't have to be me. I just actually went today, this afternoon, and for like an hour and a half, just read a bunch of articles about you. I was skimmed, right?
Sure.
Who, did you have a favorite of anyone that interviewed you that you felt got it the most or really portrayed who you are as a chef or you as a person over anyone that you ever were with?
Wow.
And
that's,
I don't think,
that's
and
a,
that's...
That's a pretty serious question there.
It is a very serious question.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not a diss to anyone that's interviewed you, whether it be, you know, I won't put the names out there because they're everyone here and, you know, from
sure.
far abroad. So, and like I said, it doesn't have to be me. Ours is a very different story, but they're asking very pointed questions. So I just wondered if someone touched you more than another in all the right places.
In all the right places. I don't know that there's a great answer to that, but I mean, I guess I can tell you the only thing that really strikes me as both being interesting and emotional is that Howard Seftel's first review of the restaurant 5 months after we opened portrayed what we were trying to do perfectly. So it helped the restaurant in so many ways besides just being a positive review. The fact that he got out and he explained... The article shows, in my mind, what we were doing, but also the emotion behind it, which was what was really neat to me.
Well, what was the emotion behind it?
Well, just the pride in new and unique and different and variety and
technique.
The best thing, yeah, and technique and flavors. And, the, you know, the biggest problem that I have with Posh and that people have when they come to Posh is nobody really, you've heard a little bit about what we do, like a friend might have told you. There's this very vague concept behind what's happening here, and you don't really get it until you come here yourself. And it's so easy to misconstrue information and to pass information, and the media has done it many times.
That's not information, that's lip service.
Well, they've just passed along. They've tried to explain it incorrectly.
Okay.
And so when that happens, it becomes a negative for the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article once that was written in a different publication. I don't remember what it was. Probably a year after we were open, and it said, you go to Posh and tell them what you like, and they make it for you. And all of a sudden, I have people walking in saying, well, I wanted fish and chips. And you're like, no.
Oh.
But I don't know. I want to say just...
If you don't have one, that's okay. I just wondered. I mean, it's opening something. You just got extremely passionate about that. So that's really cool. And that's what that's what I want to tap into, because having Howard Seftel come in 5 months after you were open, and how old were you?
We were open for 5 months. So I was 33.
Okay. So that's pretty young.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's great. I mean, you've had a lot of wonderful things written about you, but maybe you haven't had things wonderfully written about you and what you do. Because people don't understand, if you're not in the business, if you're not a chef, they don't get improvisational cuisine.
Right.
They're like, what does that mean?
People don't want to be bothered for something new.
Right.
Which I understand. I mean, simplicity
well,
is...
you took a hell of a chance.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
And so did your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Gwen Ashley Walters recently wrote a really great article about ramen on Thrillist. And I really liked the fact that she described the Goma ramen and how to order it. And she said, an onsen egg is optional, but it's not. And I thought that was a really great descriptor, because as a writer, I'm pretty sure that's kind of gauche to add. It's actually like not proper English to say, well, as a, you know, this add-on is optional, but it's not. It is very simply putting your hand down and saying, you should order it this way.
Right.
It's not the same without it. So I guess, I guess I could consider that complimentary. I don't know. I think as chefs, when you tap, anytime you can tap into our soul as an interviewer, you realize why we do what we do. We all do it for slightly different reasons. Some chefs do it for ego. Some, it's the ultimate immediate gratification business. I know right now if you like what you have or you don't.
Right. Sure.
There's so much beyond. Some of us do it for soul and passion.
It's a freaking risk, man, because you're putting your heart out there. I do. I still do it. I cook, and I say people immediately eating my food, and I'm like,
right. And it's a different type of thrill that causes that.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's the love of the game.
Right.
It's the love of the game. So we're going to go out with another acronym from Samantha Lee. Go ahead.
All
POSH.
Right. I do promise they get better as they go on. So this one is perplexed over sudden hysteria.
All right.
Not bad.
Which is why you're going to Barrett Honors College.
Exactly. Just wait. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. We'll be right back. Thank you. Hey, this is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Everybody's trying to do a Z-snap, and I am not getting there. Apparently, Joshua's like had some practice because he's doing really good at it. We are here at Posh Scottsdale with Chef Joshua Hebert. I'm going to say Hebert because that's what everybody knows yet. Otherwise, they're going to think, where the hell is Heidi? She's in Montreal. So we are going to do our Soup of the Week. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by CCAP, Careers for Culinary Arts Program. CCAP works with at-risk and not at-risk high school kids. Obviously, that's true. I have to clarify that, because you don't have to be at-risk to be a CCAP kid. To give them skills to raise funds for them to go to scholarships in culinary school and learn culinary skills, get them jobs in the industry. And CCAP is awesome. CCAPAZ.org. Our Soup of the Week is from Chef Joshua. What's up?
Hello, everybody. Our Soup of the Week is our theme ramen. We're going to talk about the shoyu ramen. The simple, the base, the one that started it all.
Oh, and when did it start it all?
It started it all early in the 1900s in Tokyo. Yes, it was.
Wow.
The ramen shoyu is the simple soy sauce flavor ramen. It starts with a little bit of lemongrass and garlic and shallots, sake and mirin reduced to a glaze. And then we do a combination of pork stock and dashi simmered.
What is
a little
dashi?
Bit of, dashi is a Japanese fish stock.
Okay.
And we add a little bit of soy sauce, seasoned to taste with salt and a little bit of pepper. Mm-hmm. Add more ginger and lemongrass, and then simmer a little teeny bit of pork belly into that. Mm. And then just pour it in a giant bowl and put some beautiful noodles on top.
Mm. Pork belly. Your ramen is awesome.
That's the Homer Simpson beer donut.
That and your Frank Langella Frankenstein voice was good too. So you are opening a new joint. Ramen only, because you have Tuesday night ramen here.
Right.
Okay.
Tuesday night ramen here has grown, and for the last 2.5 years, I've been trying to find the right space and the right place and the right opportunity, both financially and regionally, to do something really, really cool. And we found a location 2.5 months ago and jumped on it really fast. And we're at Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101 on the west side, in right next to Skeptical Chemist, which is kind of a funky.
Oh,
like,
that is a cool joint. Yeah. I know
what
that
is
place.
It?
Skeptical Chemist.
Let's talk about it.
Well, let's talk about his place.
And so,
Josh is just like,
these girls,
redheads,
man,
redheads. Can't trust them. So it's 1,000 square feet. It's a small place, and that's all I wanted. You know, it's going to be 24 seats with takeout and sit in, and it's going to be called Hot Noodles Cold Sake.
Right.
So if there's any question of what we serve.
So what are you serving?
No, Emily made it.
Emily made one. Okay.
Okay, we're in
And
kitchen.
So when are you going to open up? That one. Is it already existing structure? Do you have to build it out? What do you have to do?
It's already existing, and it was previously a restaurant. So all we're doing is we're going in and we're upgrading everything. Changing.
I'm so happy for you. That's
Thank
so
you.
Cool.
It's
You're
fun.
Welcome. Yeah.
We're changing the decor. We're making it look kind of funky, modern Japanese with a cool little ramen shop edge to it.
A ramen shop edge, and what might that be?
It's just kind of like the double bar
chopsticks
counter.
And a spoon, and you know.
You know, there's this kind of counter that exists in ramen shops. That's almost like a double bar. There's this, you know, like a double bar counter, and so we're building one of those in. And I don't know anybody that. I mean. I guess if you sit at the sushi bar at Roka Court, it's kind of like that. And so at the end of the day, like, it's nothing. I'm not recreating the wheel, but we are doing something fun that doesn't exist in a lot of different places.
Okay.
And so we're not doing anything structural, actually, so we don't – it's not going to take very long. There's already a full kitchen with hoods and HVAC equipment. And
awesome.
Everything we need. So we're just kind of putting our own equipment in there and putting new tables and chairs and you know, bringing in our food in there and doing
and
it.
And a kitten that waves at you.
And a kitten, yes. The coconut. what is it? Kanuniku? I forget the name. It's
I can't remember.
I have no idea.
It has little eyes that go back and forth.
Yeah. And the little one hand that waves. And depending on which hand that waves, it means a different thing.
It does?
Yeah.
Really?
What's one of the two different things?
It's been 14
High
years
and
since
bye.
I've lived in Japan. High and bye, right? Nice. No, one is like, give me money, and the other is like, thank you. And so it's been so long since I've lived in Japan.
There are a lot of trendy things in the food world, and this has been around for a long time, ramen. And not necessarily here, because like you said, you know, ramen actually originated in Japan in 1910.
Right.
And the Chinese came and learned the noodle from the Japanese. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's right. And then they took it back. Or was it the other way around?
It's the opposite. I think
what
happened
was... looking at my notes, which I just did, so I'm so sorry.
The theory was that Chinese immigrants were making their own
soup
broth and then adapting to what they were doing in Japan. Because they were, you know, every culture has, you know, poor people from countries next to them who migrate somewhere else to try to find a better life for themselves. And, you know, the Irish did it to the United States in the early 1900s and late 1800s. God knows in this country, especially being from Arizona, you can't do what you've done without the influence of the Hispanics coming from Mexico.
Absolutely.
Looking for a better life to come work almost any job here. You know,
yeah, so the Chinese actually did bring the soup and the noodle to the Japanese.
To the Japanese.
The Japanese changed it up. And, you know, they went back and forth because they were friends for a while and then they weren't friends for a very long time. Japan has now said that this is when they pulled the people of Japan, this is their proudest creation.
Yeah, it's the national dish. Basically,
the national dish of Japan. Whether it's from Momofuku Ando, who created instant ramen, which is what we all remember from college.
From Maruchan.
Yes. Chicken.
Shrimp.
C-H-I-K-I-N.
The shrimp flavor is super popular.
Yeah,
I love ramen.
And, I mean, I lived off it in college.
Sure.
I mean, I lived off it after college when I got a liberal arts degree and couldn't get a goddamn job.
Yep.
Which is where you're headed.
Ooh, I'm going to be a poor, starving artist for a very long time.
You're
going to
be a waitress
yes,
for a little
you are.
While.
You're going to be a waitress and a barista, you know, or an Uber driver. Or you can work for Josh.
You can be a server at Posh, work on your wine knowledge, and serve as a Posh, make decent money. It's good
living. Yeah, and you get to be around him all the time.
Yeah, but I have to stay in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's okay.
You know what? I
am to Portland.
So I'm curious, because of your new joint with the cold sake aspect, but that's not something I feel like a lot of people or a lot of Americans understand. Like, we drink it. I know that my first experience with sake was sake bombers.
Sure.
Right? So it's just that crap sake.
Right.
How did you develop? Well, I mean, you did live in Japan for a while, so I'm sure that you developed an appreciation that way. But what are some things that people should look for if they do start getting interested in sake?
Well, you know, sake, that's a fabulous question. Sake has an extremely wide range of flavors.
Wine?
Yeah, very similar to wine. Not unlike white wine at all. Mm-hmm. And the hard part is that people are usually introduced to the cheapest sakes first.
Right.
Stuff that you have in a sake bomber, stuff that you would just have because it's a little bit sweeter. I'm going to overgeneralize here to make life simple for people because we don't need to know that much more about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We're all very busy people.
But God, break it down for us.
Sake is broken down into a couple of simple categories when you really want to think about it. One is the amount of sweetness in it, and it's a big generalization, but it's very simple. There are sakes that are drier, and there are sakes that are sweeter. Mm-hmm. And you know, most people start on like kind of super sweet technical sakes that have a lot of what we call in the beverage industry volatile alcohol. Volatile alcohol is that point when you take a little sip of something, you get a little bit of a cough.
Okay.
Because there's just alcohol in the air, the
like
aroma
Everclear.
Of alcohol.
Like
and then one of the more distinguishing factors to sake is the amount that the rice is polished. So it's a fermented product. It's not distilled. It's basically brewed, essentially. So it's more like sake making, or it's more like beer making, rather, than it is like distilling or anything. Although it has higher alcohol content a lot of times than most table wines by a little bit. A lot of sakes run 14, 15, 16, 17%, whereas wines run 12 to 15 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But in a bottle, that's not necessarily significant. The bottles are about the same. An American wine bottle tends to be 750 milliliters. A Japanese sake bottle tends to run 720 milliliters. Now, the more the rice is polished, the more pure.
Tell people what polished means.
So they grind the rice against itself or shake the rice against itself, and it gets rid of the external starch in the rice. Rice mm-hmm. is a starchy product, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so as they call it polishing, but they basically grind the starch off the outside of the rice. It reduces the size of the rice kernel. You see the rice that you buy at the store. It's long or short or whatever it is, mm-hmm. depending on whether you buy sushi rice or. And so as the more it's shaken, the more it's ground against itself, it gets rid of the external starch and becomes a pure form of, I'm not saying it the right way, but it becomes a more pure thing that they can extract natural sugars from, so to speak.
Okay,
starch
okay, that makes sense.
Starch
that
converts
sense.
To sugar, okay. and sugar yep. converts to alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. And so the higher the grade of polish, the more pure and the more clean a sake is going to be. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, in my experience, the more pure the sake, the more the subtle flavors start to come out. When you have impure, simple, and cheap sakes, you wind up with these sakes that are just like alcohol. Mm-hmm. And when you get really good ones, they become really fragrant and pretty and
But what's the fragrance and what's the pretty and what are the things that are coming from? Is it just from a grain of rice or are there additives or is it just the
what
way
kind
they
of
turn it?
What do they
age it
in?
I know nothing about it. Yeah, exactly.
There's also they basically take the rice, cook it, and people can email me that I'm wrong. I'm not super
expert.
It doesn't
matter. Just throw it
essentially,
out there.
They cook the rice and then they add what's a koji, which is called a starter. They basically make a rice yeast, a yeast that comes from natural things that are on rice as it sits at room temperature and ferment. Okay. And they throw koji in it, and it starts to turn the starches into sugars, and the sugars then ferment into alcohol. Okay. And they do it in a controlled environment. Again, very similar to winemaking or brewing beer. And then at that point, they keep the temperatures really low. Fermentation needs to be done, you know, not at super high temperatures. Because fermentation wants to create heat. There's action, and it wants to create heat. So you need to, like, put it in you know, temperature-controlled environment so that it doesn't, you know, if you get too hot with fermentation, it creates these weird esters that are sweaty and not that great for the end product.
Okay.
And so they do so at a lower temperature, a lower environment, and they just have this really clean thing. Most sake is not aged. There are some that are.
Okay.
And when they are, they're really pretty and unique. But My goal at Hot Noodles Cold Sake is to serve, you know, we're not going to serve like 100 sake lists. It's a 20-seat restaurant. Nobody's going to drink that much sake. But we're going to hand pick good sakis that if you're not a sake fan, will make you a sake fan from the first time you try one.
Okay, that's cool.
So
do you
so
do, okay, are they brew, are they, are sakis created, do we have any that are like made in the U.S.?
Yeah, actually, there's a giant place in southern Oregon in the Rogue River that does really good sakes.
Okay.
I believe it's called Fudumio. I haven't had them for a couple years, but we used to carry them a lot at Posh.
Last question.
Go.
Hot or cold? What's the best way to serve them?
Cold always.
How come they serve them?
Then how
come they serve it hot?
Because I heard that hot sake is cheap sake. Cold sake is good sake.
I'm nodding my head at the hot sake is cheap sake.
Okay.
You know, when I lived there, the impression is like the older generation, when I was there in 2002, 2003, the older generation were the generation that drank the hot sake because it wasn't as artisan of a beverage back then for a lot of people. It was just like something they drank. And it was funny because you'd go to like the hot springs baths and you'd see these guys just like chilling in the sauna with their like, or the jacuzzi hot spring with their little sake thing, and they have these little floats that you put your bottle in and you have your sake glass in, and they just sit there and float in front of you.
That's
and you
awesome.
Fill up your glass and you drink
perfect.
It and hang out at the,
a
at
lot
the hot
of them
spring.
Drown
but it, you don't see a lot of people even when you go out to sushi and you do sake bombers, nobody really drinks hot sake anymore. It's something that's it's meant to take the alcohol slash edge off of the sake. I mean, I'm sure if I lived in Hokkaido and it was super cold, it's like a hot toddy. Like how much alcohol you get? How much alcohol you get out of hot toddy? You know, you're kind of like poaching the alcohol away.
I can't wait for hot toddy time because right now it's hot down here. What are we, like 115 today? So we're going to take another quick break, and then
thank you for the explanation. By the way, thank you for that explanation. By the way,
that was great. Yeah, I love it.
I feel so much more informed.
Educate, entertain, and engage.
Yay.
And this is one of the reasons why I always fall back on my lovely friend Joshua Ebert. Because he hits all three every time, and we always have a great show.
Oh, thanks, so, Heidi.
Oh, it's true. It's totally true. Yeah. This is like, it's like, dude, I need you. Can you get my back? That's what chefs do. That's what friends do. So thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yes. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get some more. Oh, another acronym from Samantha while we cut out. Go for it, baby.
All right. Pumped on steroid hiatus.
Wow.
That's deep. Think on that.
Think on that.
This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. We need a sing.com. Ready?
.com.
Just do it. Into the soup.
.com.
There's nothing more zen in the world than if you can take the level of acceptance with where you are and who you are as a person and just look and say, like, this is beautiful. I am what I am. I can't change this. So why would you even think for a second to worry about
reducing my breast size?
You know, Popeye said it best, I am what I am.
I am what I am.
You know,
if you know, that's a very difficult place to reach in a life. Are you there at 40 years old?
Am I what?
Are you there? Hey, this is Heidi Lee. You're back to Into the Soup. Are you there at 40 accepting yourself, understanding it, taking it as is and going, you know what? My life is freaking awesome and I'm where I want to be. You know, we always have dreams. We have aspirations. We want to do more. But as far as yourself,
it's
are
all
you cool with that?
Absolutely. I've never been happier. I've never loved my life more. And I'm not saying that because I've been fortunate in any way, any more so than anyone else. It's more that I wake up every day, I'm doing what I like, I'm surrounded by people that I like. I enjoy every aspect of things, and even difficult things. And when you have the opportunity to have the right perspective, and when you stare at life's challenges as something that will only make you better, and you truly believe that, and you—I mean, I've had conversations with people before, like, "Yeah, that's BS, man. You're just like saying something nice to get through." Like, no, I genuinely believe that. And when I do things like lose my temper, and when I, you know, lose my cool, I'm not happy with myself because I want.
I very rarely could see you losing your cool and losing your temper. I mean, we all do.
Right.
I do it more internally than I do externally.
Right.
And then I figure out a way to produce it externally so I'm not going volcano.
I just think, like, the object behind being Zen is to just be with, at one with everything. And I'm not saying I'm Buddhist. I'm not saying I have any observation on anything. God raised Catholic, Jewish, everything that could possibly be imagined. But why be something? Why worry about being something you're not? I can't think of anything that's a more negative emotion
and
to
have. Waste of time.
Yeah. And a waste of time.
That's so inspirational.
And a waste of time.
I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, so that was congratulations. You know, that's really it's really neat. And I feel that you said something about someone asked you a question about having a sweet tooth.
Oh, yeah.
And what was your answer? Do you remember?
You
said something
to...
is like, no, wine takes over too much for that.
Yeah, wine takes over. I definitely don't have much of a sweet tooth.
Yeah, I don't either. So we're kindred spirits there.
Sure.
But as far as like being Zen and being comfortable in who you are and what you are, I'm damned close. And I feel extremely happy. And so it's so neat to find people that actually are there too.
It's the best part about getting older.
I know. It's so important for just your freaking psyche and for your family.
I think the moment that you stop trying to impress people and really just work within yourself,
you
impress yourself and everyone else sees the result too. Like, and it comes with every job that you could possibly have. Working with confidence promotes so much fanatical appreciation. I don't know. I sound like an idiot right now, but that's
no, you
like,
don't. You're just talking. We're having a conversation. This is what we do on Into the Soup. You know,
you're talking about something that might be more dear to my heart than food.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
You know, and it could be. And I think that you know, you and I were talking earlier, and I wanted you to express this for potential guests because sometimes people get freaked out and they're like, "Oh my God, I have to be on for an hour. How fast did this hour go for you, Joshua?"
Did we start five minutes ago?
Yeah, pretty much.
You and I have never had a problem talking in a group. That's
no,
what I know.
And I don't have a problem talking with anybody. It's just like what they need to know is all we want to do is tell your story.
I feel bad because we're like Sammy and ain't getting enough time in here.
Sammy can't read her acronyms.
Oh, maybe you should throw down another acronym.
Yeah, what was your
quick.
Last acronym?
Well, I have two more, and this one.
Okay,
this
one.
This one made Mom almost pee her pants. Pompous, orderly, screaming heretics.
Well then.
Hello, politics.
Your mother and heretics. Hello. Hello.
Oh, wow.
Bosh. Pompous, orderly, screaming.
That was a ninja star of vocabulary in a way that no one could comprehend.
Well, I mean, those vocab lists have to go somewhere in life.
Right. If it wasn't for the spelling bee and the vocabulary Nazis, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves, would we?
Were you a spelling bee kid?
No, God.
No.
I almost got put in my spelling bee at school, but I lost on the word parachute.
Parachute?
Really? Parachute. I was like
eight. Won on the word coffee when
you know,
I was in fifth grade.
Speaking of coffee, so really? Mine was, my spelling bee loss was diuretic. And I tried to spell it like diarrhea. And add a T-I-C at the end.
See, if you would have added, if parachute was my word, I would have been like P-A-I-R space A-C-H-U-T-E, parachute, parachute. Or that would it could have also been like S-H-O-O-T at the end.
You know, spelling bees are almost like today made for you. I've got to do this really quick. I have to remind everyone, finally, we have the save the date for the CCAP Harvest Moon dinner, or excuse me, CCAP Harvest Moon feast on November 14th at Desert Foothills Farms. We'll be bringing you a lot more information as things progress. And we're very, very excited about it. And we're going to hit you up, Joshua.
Go
ahead. Hang out with Chaparral High School, be their mentor and all that.
Chaparral High School is like 5 minutes from where I grew up.
I know, and that's why we picked it for you.
Cool. I'm stoked.
Which high school did you go to?
The high school that no other chef ever graduated from.
No.
Yeah. I was the only person in my graduating class who didn't even attempt to go to college.
Nice.
You know, I was talking with Chris Osborne.
And you didn't
Chris
even
Osborne.
Meet
Chris Osborne. I know Chris Osborne well.
I know.
We play golf
and
frequently.
You went to school together.
Yeah.
And you went to Brophy.
Yep.
So that's a very interesting start for someone who became a chef.
Sure.
You have very educated parents. You didn't come from low-digit income. And you wanted to be a chef.
Very much so.
And the first thing I saw was in one of the interviews that I read about you was... It was to, like, bring on ladies.
Which works.
Impressing women was definitely high on the priority chart, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. And but so, and did it work?
It did.
Well, and you eventually ended up with a very lovely wife. So.
Sure.
Married.
Happily married.
Married so. Footheaver. How long have you guys been married?
10 years in October.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Right around your birthday?
Wow.
10 days after I turned 40.
Neat. Holla. Well, we're going to be here for that, and I think we need to do a live gig.
Done deal.
Did we even discuss our weekly what?
No. What is it? Hurry up.
Oh, jeez.
No, we have time.
Weekly what your whistle. We're
weekly good. What the whistle is two things tonight. We have done a barrel-aged Manhattan that was in a previously used barrel of Negroni.
It's ridiculous.
And so it's got like, it's a Manhattan with just a little more bitterness to it. And it's up.
It's my favorite drink and it's done so nicely.
It's got us feeling the love. And then we also had a little splash of Kajoshu sake because we were talking about sakes and I wanted to show a really unique sake. And so it's funny because it's aged in oak barrels for 8 years and it's called Kajoshu, but I like it the most because it's spelled Kijoshu. And if I put a little E on the end of it, it's my
Joshua.
Name.
Joshua.
Kajoshua.
We have to take a picture of that.
So,
are you going to serve this at your new joint?
I may. This one's pretty expensive, so I'm not quite sure.
So it's only for those
for
ballers
your
out there.
Expensive cocktails with us.
You're welcome.
Delicious.
We love you very
as
much.
As they would say in Japan,
yeah. We've been together for a long time. Samantha has one more acronym.
I think this one's the best. I think it perfectly describes posh. Pretty over sophisticated, honestly.
Well then.
Damn.
That's
zing.
I consider that a compliment, especially coming from someone smart like you.
We give that the good old zoom, zoom, zoom.
Great.
Don't worry, I still really love this place.
She does. She does. And we will be back again and again. Do I have a couple more minutes or do I need to clock myself?
Sammy's next step is the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle.
Oh,
I'm actually really not good at those.
No, I'm not good. Are you good at crossword
puzzles? I love crossword puzzles.
Oh, no. God. My father used to try to get me to do them. I hate crossword puzzles.
Yeah, like, I don't do that.
It infests
I can't
brain.
Spell. We already talked about that. I can't spell. There's no getting around.
No.
I just make pictures in those little boxes.
Right. Oh, God.
My grandpa was so good at them, and he had like all of the crossword puzzle dictionaries, too. They actually make those.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
No idea.
I ran into a beam the other day.
smack
right into it at Sips and Sweets. I was walking along and I was looking like to my right and I didn't even see it. It was black. The wall ahead of it was black. It's a steel beam and I hit it. Whack!
And wasn't the best part that you were kind of in a fishbowl just like this?
Yeah, pretty much. So all these people to the left of me that were like setting up saw it and they didn't go, "Are you okay?" They went, "Ooh." Because I hit it so hard. But luckily, I've got that, you know, talking about the change in your body thing. So I had the cushion to, like, you know, prevent my head from hitting it because everything in front of me had, like, stopped me.
It's a blessing.
Tell you what, man, my knee hit that steel beam and it left a mark.
Is there, like, a little swelling?
Just a lot, yeah.
Just to take, like, a frozen bag of peas out
of
the freezer.
Day. I know. It was the beginning of the day, and I was like, oh, my knee. Too old to have that kind of stuff hit me because it doesn't
be
go
careful.
Away. I
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Well, what? Pay attention to where I'm walking
pay
so I don't walk
to where
into
you're
a steel beam.
Well, you know, it just kind of like showed up out of nowhere.
Well, it kind of did because it was everywhere, but it was black and the wall behind it was black. So, you know, that's it. That's me. Anyway, thank you so much, my lovely friend.
Thank you for having me. I'm always stoked to be here.
Oh, I love you. You're so awesome.
You're the
this
best.
This was a blast.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun with you over the years, and we'll continue to do it, and we will be here at your 40th birthday
Can
party.
Can we get
for
the
sure.
count to count us out?
Yeah.
Do I need the count?
Are you done, Sammy? You don't have any more?
No, I'm good to go. I tried my best to be funny.
Okay. Well,
and you did a wonderful job. I'm not going to lie.
It was a great attempt, Sam.
Oh, keep you
trying.
Did well.
Thank you.
I thought it was great. You contributed. It was awesome. Joshua Hebert from Posh and also from, what's your new joint?
Hot Noodles Cold Sake.
Hot Noodles Cold Sake. Emily King.
From nowhere? Well, from, from Phoenix.
From Phoenix.
Emily King from EmilyKing.com.
From Into the Soup. From Into the Soup, my rock and roll. com. Oh, all the things we posted up today, you can find the soup of the week. All the everything else is on Into the Soup.
com.
All right, count us out from five.
Three, five, four, three, two, one, the count, zero.
You're into the soup.